Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Joined now by Redskins legend Santana Moss. Santana, thank you so much for coming on, man. This is it's very cool to have you here. You and I have known each other for, you know, 2 years now that you're working with CSN, but it's always a little more buttoned up when we're doing TV stuff. It's a little more fun to just get to chat on the podcast.
Definitely, man. I really appreciate you having me on, buddy.
Oh, man. The pleasure is all mine. All right, so we can talk about kind of whatever we want to here, and I'm definitely going to ask you for at least one good story from the U. But
okay.
Let's start with, obviously, the Skins have a big matchup this week against the Cardinals. So I'm curious your thoughts on three players on Arizona. Let's start with Larry Fitzgerald.
I mean, what can I say about Larry, man? He seemed like the ageless wonder. You know, I remember last year just, you know, watching him play and then listening to the, you know, commentators were saying that, you know, maybe he's on his last leg. You know, he was asked to move in the slot and play more the inside and have to block and do a little things different that he's been doing in his career. And, you know, it just wasn't going his way. And now this year he's the guy again. You know, he's that guy that's making all the plays out there in the passing game and just being the Larry that we've been known and seen throughout his career.
Am I off base to say you kind of made a similar transition, right, from being an outside guy to playing a little more slot later in your career?
Yes. You're exactly right.
Is it difficult when a coach comes to you and asks you to make that move?
It's difficult when you know that, you know, in your heart you want to be able to be out there and do what you've been doing. But I think in my situation, I have went through so many years of being the outside guy, being the number one guy. And, you know, you go into those games putting so much out and not getting that same back in return. So, you know, if I'm going to play outside and be your number one guy, treat me like a number one guy. Throw me the ball, you know, give me a chance to be special, you know. And I felt like a lot of years had passed where I wasn't getting that kind of opportunity. So Shanahan's looked at my game and said, hey, you know, we think that you can be valuable to us down the road, you know, in years to come, if we can change your position and put you in the inside. You know, yes, it would take a lot of plays off of your belt, but it would also only give you a chance to be fresh and come in on third down when we need you the most, or come in on those downs when we want to put three wideouts on the field. So, you know, he assured me that, hey, you know, we understand that you still could be our number one Z, but I think this will help you in the long run. And being the guy that I am, you know, I took his word. I said, hey, if that's what you really have in store for me, I can live with that. I can't live with you taking something from me that hadn't been taken from me by a player, you know. And so, you know, that year it happened, and I still led the team in touchdowns and, you know, with less opportunities. I went out there and put up big numbers, I think. So
2012.
I was pleased to see what happened that first year with that, you know, with that change.
Yeah, 2012 you're talking about, right? Robert's rookie year?
Yeah, Robert's first season.
Well, and that offense was so funky or gimmicky, however you want to talk about that offense, that it's not like the true Z on that team was getting that many looks anyway, you know?
At all. It's dynamic. You know, you watch Cal now over there in Atlanta. You know, everyone's going to get a chance to touch the rock. And that's what I liked about it. You know, he finds the guys that and matchups that can be key for that week and say, hey, you're going to take the load. So when you have a guy like myself that had been doing that all my career, you know, regardless of who we played, I was the guy. it was no different for me to be that guy again with less of a role. So I appreciate the offense. I think out of all the offenses I played in, to me, that was number one. I've always spoke highly about the Shanahan's offense because it just seemed to me that, you know, you watch when Kubiak and those guys running, I mean, those guys in the slot, they was almost like number one receivers because they found a way to make sure they always had mismatches and just found a way to get them the ball when it came time.
Well, I mean, think about how much money Eric Decker made himself playing that slot with Peyton in Denver and all that. So you brought up a name that I'll follow up with you on. You think, does Kyle Shanny get a head coaching job this year, or does it take a little bit longer?
Hey, man, you never know. I really don't know how. What all he needs to show? What all more do he need to show?
Right. I mean, that guy's offense
speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere he's gone.
Quarterback in that offense, running things, and has the right playmakers in that offense. Man, his thing is hitting on all cylinders. And you know, I've been loving watching the Falcons, you know, running because, you know, I always felt that if we had a better blocking scheme, you know, and a few more weapons here and there, and had a quarterback that we could depend on a little more, because we had so much going on with, you know, hey, we don't know if we want to run a read option, or we don't know if we want to keep this guy in, or we don't know if we want to bring another guy in to have, you know, be a pocket passer. We had so much going on, we was never really sure in that position, you know, I feel. And it was mostly because of Roberts being hurt, you know, or then when he got back, he wasn't quite, you know, himself or being back. So we always had that door open for either it's going to be him or Kurt or whoever. And it was never really no guy to really, you know, take charge of them after 2012. And I think that's what's messed us up in a couple of those years that we could have probably had a better offense.
Well, I mean, to be fair to you, even outside of 2012 and the end of your career, kind of throughout your career, I can only imagine what your numbers would have been if you were with one great quarterback for a while. You know? It's so hard to look at receiver numbers and consider what they kind of go through to get them. You know what I mean? It leads me to another question. You talking about being that number one, that Z guy. Obviously, it's gone a little bit better against the Packers and the Cowboys. But what do you think about how this team uses Deshaun?
You know, early in the year, I was one of the guys that was wanting to see more from Deshaun, you know, with this team and with this offense. But as I get going on and watching them more and more and more, they have so many weapons. You know, I think Deshaun is used, you know, when they can find that right chance to give him the ball. But I think what he's doing that's probably not getting as much talk or respect is that he's that guy that gives a lot of those other guys those chances to have those one-on-one matchups.
Yep.
You know, with him on the field, he's the guy that's going to blow the top off. And when he's not doing that, he's going to take two guys with him and give, you know, a Crowder or Reed, who shouldn't be left alone at all, or Pierre, he's going to give those guys those one-on-one matchups. So you have to appreciate, you know, him when he's out there and he's not being the dominant, you know, Deshaun that we know he can be when it comes to him having pass catches. But I think he's very valuable because of alone, you know, just with his speed alone, he's somebody to make sure that you have to, you know, you watch out for. And whether they use him and throw to him a lot or not, I think he's a valuable force on that offense. And, you know, I'm hoping down the road, you know, with these last few games that, you know, we can see a little more of his insurgence, because we've seen that when he is implemented in the offense and he's having those chances to have those catches and having those touchdowns, you know, it helps us have a pretty good game, and it kind of decides if we're going to have a win that day or a loss.
Big time. And, you know, the game he didn't play against Minnesota, you saw the Vikings kind of bracketed Crowder and really really slowed him down. He was able to catch the touchdown, but that was not a big output for what he's been doing. I'm going to put you on the hot seat a little bit. I know you're not the GM, but if you are the GM and you have to pick, both guys are going to be free agents, Pierre or Deshaun, who makes more sense for this Redskins team?
It's hard, man. That is a hot seat. That's a seat I don't want to be in. And I don't.
Well, you know both the guys.
Because that's a hard one, buddy. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's a hard one. But I think in the long run, you have to just come, you know, think about what you're going to be able to do, you know, in the long run with that individual. You know, how how are you trying to run this offense down the road, and what is going to be suitable for what you're trying to do. I made a statement some weeks back that, you know, I don't want to be the one to have to say either or, but I can say that just from what they have now, you know, Deshaun would be probably ideal because what he can do when it comes to get other guys open. But then I said also, when you have a guy like Pierre, do you want to not have that for sure possession guy that can run pretty much every route and catch everything and it's as tough as nails? So it's a tough situation. And, you know, even though you put me in the hot seat, I don't want to be the one to answer it. I'm going to let them have to deal with that at the end, because it's something that I'm scratching my head on to this day, because I don't know what decision they're going to come up with.
And the other thing they've got to figure out is what they have in Josh Doctson, you know, and they haven't gotten any look at the rookie. Obviously, his tape and everything from college was really impressive, but it's a tricky lost year from a first-round rookie.
Yeah, it is, man, and it's hard to be in those shoes. I was once in those shoes, and I didn't get a chance to play a preseason game or a game until, like, week 13, 14, I believe, my first year. And when a team invested, you know, that first-round pick, and, you know, in me and wanted to see so much from me, it was hard to sit there and feel like I was a part of anything, because they looked at me as if, well, if you're not doing anything, you know, until you do something, we can't consider you as one of us. So, you know, I don't know if he's in that situation, because it's a different time in this game, you know, and, you know, back then it was the old school guys, man. They did the old school way. Until you show us that you're worthy, we're not going to, you know, acknowledge you. So it's tough for him. And just knowing that he can be so special in this offense and for this team, that is something that I can say that if you want to put him into the effect of what's going to end up being the deciding factor, whether they keep a Deshaun or a Pierre, you can say that, well, maybe a Doctson can be that possession guy. So we a keeper guy, like, you know, Deshaun, so we can have that burner and have a guy who can, you know, we can throw jump balls to and be, you know, efficient for us down in that red zone area.
Right, and Doctson's bigger than anybody they've got. Really, he's got good size.
Yeah, he's a Jordan Reed all over again. You know, just now he's just an outside guy. You know, all day. You know, but when you look at Doctson and you look at a Jordan Reed, you say to yourself, like, you have two of these kind of guys on your team that can pretty much be a mismatch when it comes to any routes you want to give them down that red zone area, which they need a lot of that big play. You know, this season. Out of somebody, and Jordan's been taking that load. They've been waiting for Jordan to have that kind of a year that he had last year, where they can just go at him a lot. But, you know, teams are sitting there licking their chops ready for, you know, plays like that to Jordan.
So you talked about Jordan Reed. Did you ever play through a shoulder injury like he's playing through?
Man, I played through so many things I couldn't even tell you. You know what he has is an AC joint separation. It's, you know, I've been hearing so many people say, oh, he separated his shoulder. They don't understand the difference, you know. So I can assure you it's painful, and I can assure you that it's something that, you know, in order for you to be a veteran and be where he's at right now with his game, that's the only thing that's going to allow you to say, I'm either hurt or injured. He knows where he's at, and he knows that, hey, I'm not to the point to where I'm going to hurt this any worse, and it's not going to, you know, cause me anything down the road. So he got a way to numb it up and go out there and be efficient and be the Jordan Reed that we needed, you know, last week. But I know for a fact that it's painful, and he's probably going to be one of those guys that they're not sure about this week, depending on how that feeling goes down or not, you know.
Right.
But pain is one thing, man, and being injured is another. And I think he know the difference. That's why he went back out there and was able to be the Jordan Reed that they needed.
What's the most pain you ever played through?
You name it, brother. Man, I had nagging hamstrings and nagging groins and a tailbone that was broke that I didn't know was broke. So, you know, man, I did it all. So I can't pick one, because every time I think about it, man, it just let me know that I soaked up a lot of stuff. I think my worst pain, to be honest with you, my worst pain I can remember was I broke my rib in 2003 when I was with the Jets. Didn't know it was a broken rib. Got hurt in playing against the Colts up there in Indy, and I was on pace to have my first 1,000-yard season. It was actually my first year starting, and I was flying high. And when it happened, I tried to go back out there that game, and I just couldn't even breathe or even walk right. So I sat down for the rest of the game, which had happened so late in the game that I was able to, you know, not miss much. And I ended up having a score, and we won that game that, you know, that day. But the next day in that week, man, I didn't think I was going to be able to finish the season. I thought I was going to have to put it down. And if I was smarter back then, I probably would have just sat down. But I wasn't. I was a young kid that had missed a year already and felt that it was no way I'm going to let one little rib hurt me from playing. And all I needed to hear was it wasn't broke. And they gave me that saying it wasn't broke. So I went back out there and played and fought through it for the last, four or five games. But after the season was over with, I later found out that it was broken.
Oh, that pain's got to be incredible. And then when you get hit, just that much worse.
Oh, man, I had so much in me. You name it. I had tore it all. And you name it. I had heat packs on it and a big old pad just to keep it, you know, from taking such an impact. And at that time of the year, it was cold. So I'm in New York, and we're playing out there, and it's almost 30 below every time. So it was something to deal with, man. But, you know, my threshold for pain had became something that I didn't take very lightly. I can always take the pain. And mentally, I just feel like my team needed me. So I was going to go out there regardless. And I think when you watch that game that Jordan played in, I couldn't ask him to do that, or we wouldn't have seen that from Jordan early in his career. And I think he'd been through enough to know the difference, and that's why you saw him be able to step up and say, man, hey, if this can't get worse, I'm gonna go out there. Give me something to numb it up, and I'm going to go out there. That's what he did.
Absolutely. I wrote that early in his career, Jordan Reed had a bit of a reputation for being soft.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's eliminated that.
You know, but when you look at it, some of the stuff that he went down for, you have to just, you know, label that. Label him like that, and you would hate to say that to a guy. You know, me personally, I wouldn't want to tell him that. But if you keep not finishing games and, you know, we can't see when you got hurt, people are going to give you that label. And I'm glad that he was able to put that behind him, you know, that last week.
All right, Tana, I am sitting in a car that is getting rained on and probably getting loud for our listeners. So give me the two other guys I wanted to ask you about on the Cardinals, and you can give me quick answers on these guys. David Johnson.
David Johnson, what you want to hear from about him?
Well, how good is he? I think he's the best runner in the league.
I mean, that's what I was asking, because I don't know anything bad to say about him, and I don't want to talk him up because I sure don't want to see him, you know, get off on our defense this week. But yes, man, he's shown that he's a wrecking force. You know, he's somebody to reckon with in this league, and I hate to see him. I actually have him on my fantasy every week. And I'm trying to think, should I put him on my fantasy this week? Because I don't want him to have a good, you know, outing against us. But, you know, he's not let me down, you know, this whole season. And he's been averaging almost 100 yards a game. So he's a scary guy to have to contain this week.
Dude, I have him in fantasy, too, if it makes you feel better. And I think you got to play him. I mean.
Yeah, you have to. And then when you come down to just knowing what our defense gives up.
Right.
You know, they're not strong in the run.
Right.
I think they play well enough to kind of, you know, hold guys and to not have those crazy numbers on them. But, you know, they're going to average at least 90 to 100 yards every outing. So
yep.
That's what, another reason you keep them in your fantasy.
Right. I think the Skins need to run the ball better this week to kind of keep David Johnson off the field, kind of even up the time of possession. All right. The last Cardinals player I want to talk about is Carson Palmer. I'm wondering if you know Carson at all, and it seems to me that Father Time's kind of catching up with him.
You know, man, you can say what you want. I don't know. We don't have the clue. We don't have the answers. But I watch that team a lot, and I watch Carson because I think he's one of the best quarterbacks out there, too, along with the Breezes and the Rodgers and, you know, the Mannings and all those guys. You know, I feel like he should be in that, you know, that category when it comes to one of the elite quarterbacks. But right now, he's dealing with a line that hasn't really been strong for him all season. And he's not a guy who's going to be that mobile. So you need this guy to be protected enough where he can sit in that pocket with ease and be able to dink and dunk to the guys that he have. We've seen that when he had that protection, man, he put up the numbers. So we don't know what part Carson Palmer and what Arizona Cardinal team we're going to see this week. So that's the scary thing about playing these guys, because even though they're not on their best, you know, up to leading up to this game, they have shows first that they can be dominant, and that's something that you don't want to see. You don't want to see them, you know, shine with, you know, come Sunday.
Agreed. I think the Cardinals are a real threat for the Redskins this weekend, and the Skins better be ready to go. Watching them at practice this week, they seem dialed in, and I think a couple extra days rest after that Cowboys game is really helping the Redskins.
Yes, man. I mean, if you look at that Redskin game against the Cowboys the other day, man, I was ecstatic just to see those guys go out there and show up the way they did. They fought hard, you know, knowing with the short time and the turnaround and with the guys who was just beat up. So to see those guys play as well as they did on Thursday, it leads you to think, man, and to believe that, man, these guys get the proper rest and they go out there with the same mindset, they can beat anybody.
Agreed. Tana, I'm going to let you off the hook this week for a good Miami story just because I'm in the middle of a terrible thunderstorm and I fear I need to get out of here.
No problem, man. But you know I got you next time, man. Anytime.
I appreciate it. And you know I still want to come down there and work on a book together. I think it'd be incredible.
Oh, no doubt. I've been thinking about it since we talked about it, man.
Yeah.
I definitely have a lot to say.
I know, man.
I went through a lot and seen a lot, so I'm eager to share that with everybody. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of people that want to, you know, sit there and, you know, check me out, check us out.
Absolutely. And you're such a good storyteller that people want to listen, you know?
Oh, man, I appreciate it.
Tana, thank you very much, man, and we will be in touch.
All right, thanks, JP.